The MOU is the most significant formal exchange of personnel between departments in history. And what it allows is it allows the Department of State to provide foreign service officers to the Department of Defense at combatant commands and at the Pentagon to aid them in their missions. In exchange, the Department of Defense will be sending over almost 100 military officers to serve at the Department of State to advise regional bureaus, functional bureaus, and other State Department officials on defense policy matters that impact on foreign policy.
And what are you hoping to accomplish? I mean, what will change as a result of these people being at the respective new agencies?
We hope to improve interagency coordination. We already had a number of Foreign Service officers serving over at the Pentagon and at combatant commands and a number of officers at the State Department, but we are increasing, nearly doubling the number of military officers who will be serving at the State Department. And the political advisors that we provide to military commanders have increased over the last 3 years from three or four years, from about 15 in 2007 to almost 100 now. So we are looking to deepen the interagency cooperation, to improve the cooperation and coordination between the State Department and the Department of Defense. Under Secretary Clinton, the cooperation between State Department and DOD has never been better. And we're looking to formalize that cooperation through this MOU.
One thing about when you deal with these MOUs and these interagency agreements, how easy are they to get done? Meaning, is there a lot of, if you will, negotiations going on between the two departments? Or is it just a matter of sitting down two people and kind of putting it out on paper?
It takes a bit of time to negotiate these types of MOUs. First, we have to agree on the numbers and find the people who are going to be available to fill those numbers, and what the Department of Defense calls validating the requirement. And so we went through an exercise where we gave a list of the positions which we would like to have military advisors over here at the State Department, and we went through each one and talked about it and validated the requirement. And on the other side, the Department of Defense submits requests for political advisors from the State Department, and we go through them and we assess them. So that took some time, and then it took time for each department to confirm that it would be able to find the people to be able to exchange. So these are not, you know, hammered out on a napkin. These take significant amount of time and effort and work, and that's what makes it a very significant accomplishment. One of my Department of Defense colleagues, as we were negotiating it, he said to me, you know, given the amount of effort that goes into one of these agreements, this is going to endure for quite some time.
And what sort of person is well suited to this type of work? I mean, how did you vet people? I imagine background was part of it, but there must have been some other factors.
Well, we have a program at the Department of State for Foreign Service officers who want to serve with military commands. Remember, a lot of Foreign Service officers already have experience working with the military in Iraq and Afghanistan. For those who are interested, they actually bid on these jobs. And we then compare the different bidders and look at their backgrounds, their experiences, what they would bring to the command. Often a command may want somebody with regional expertise. Others may want someone who has a greater understanding of working, you know, with a particular service from their experience in Iraq and Afghanistan. So we're trying to meet the needs of the command and find the right person to fill those needs. We have had, you know, increasing interest in State Department Foreign Service officers applying for these. And our hope is that over time, we're going to develop a cadre of Foreign Service officers who have experience serving side by side with the military, and they'll be able to bring that experience with them as they get promoted in the Foreign Service and as they become deputy chiefs of mission and ambassadors. And as we see in today's world, with the challenges that we face, having experience working with the military can be very valuable when you're an ambassador or a deputy chief of mission.
We're speaking with Andrew J. Shapiro, Assistant Secretary of State for Political and Military Affairs.
When these people apply, do they have to move? What happens to their job? I mean, sometimes if they are in the State Department headquarters and they go to Pentagon, it's not much of a difference. But if they apply and they end up moving out to a command or moving overseas, how much of a difference is it?
Well, in the Foreign Service, it's a part of life that you will have, you know, three-year tours. It's similar to the military in that respect. And so they, you know, typically they're coming to the end of a tour and they're looking for their next job. And often they're expecting to move, and some of them would, you know, often they would like to come back to the United States to work for a command after an overseas tour. Others may, you know, want to work at a particular regional command to further develop their experience and exposure to those issues. So the moving part of it is not unexpected if you're a Foreign Service officer.
Is there a big learning curve? Or because maybe some people, they've worked before, or they have some military background, it's closer than maybe some would think.
There are cultural differences between the State Department and the Defense Department, and this program it helps to bridge those differences by giving Foreign Service officers and military officers exposure to the other cultures. And those who are serving overseas will often have to deal with the military throughout their career, so having this exposure can be quite helpful. But as I noted, there are the State Department Foreign Service officers have been working side by side with military officers in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. So already we have Foreign Service officers and military officers who have some experience in working with the military, but this allows a deeper experience in working side by side on a daily basis at a command headquarters with senior military officials, and it's a valuable experience for them.
Now, going back to Secretary of Defense Bob Gates, he was always lamenting that he wishes the State Department had a bigger budget. Mm-hmm. Of course, the military always talks about force multipliers. It sounds like this is almost a force multiplier for the State Department.
I agree that this is a way for the State Department to continue to deepen its partnership with the Pentagon. And Secretary Clinton has made clear that rather than have a competitive relationship with the Pentagon, as some of her predecessors have had, she wants to have a cooperative relationship. And luckily, she's had strong partners in First Secretary Gates and now Secretary Panetta, who agree that it's important to have a cooperative relationship between the State Department and the Defense Department. And certainly the more that we can work together, the more we're able to pursue American interests together, and that serves to increase both departments' influence.
And so what's the timeline? Is this underway now? Have the people been put in place? What are we going to see?
We just signed it at the beginning of the year, and we will now be working through the assignment cycles of both departments to fill the slots. So we will be advertising in the State Department. We advertise for Foreign Service officers interested in joining military commands, and that's an ongoing process which they bid on, and then we evaluate them and choose the best candidates for the commands to consider. And on the Pentagon side, they will work through their assignment cycle to identify the military officers who would be best suited to serve over here. So I think that it will be filling the majority of these slots over the next year.